Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
How you doing, Terry?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I was just thinking, this is going to be a great podcast. And if you just clicked on it to listen, this is cool. But beware. I just realized we may have entered dangerous territory because the person that's sitting here with us, who I'll introduce in a second, is a hypnotherapist. Like, he can hypnotize you and get you talking like a chicken from now until.
What's funny is he hypnotized both of us before we went on. So we're
I know he did.
We're just saying whatever he wants right now.
Exactly right.
Just call me Hypnotoad.
Yes, Hypnotoad. I love that. Peter Haviland is with us. He's a private investigator and a certified clinical hypnotherapist with 33 years in the business of parapsychology and forensic hypnosis. Do you think you could hypnotize us?
Yeah, I've actually done it once on the air.
Really? Mm-hmm. And it works for real?
The lady said that it did. I was on an old podcast and she wanted to stop smoking. And she was in Salem and I was in Houston. And she went out like a champ and woke back up. So I'm assuming so.
Wow, you were in different cities.
Yeah, I'm assuming so. Yeah.
You did it over a telephone?
I did it over, podcast.
Over a podcast?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy. Peter, we brought you in because, it's the Halloween week. Mm-hmm. Thursday is trick-or-treating. People like to talk about scary things. They want to talk about ghosts. Mm-hmm. And I know that perhaps you have some experience with poltergeists,
yes,
which we can get into. But tell us a little bit about yourself,
okay,
and your career track and how you've gotten to this point.
Okay, well, it started a long, long time ago. I was 12 years old. I was watching monster movies in my parents' house, and I don't remember what the name of it was, but it was around 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. My dog sat up and alerted and turned around and looked at the stairs, because it was a two-story house, and looked at the stairs. All the hair on the back of her neck stood up. I turned around and looked, and I saw my grandfather walking downstairs, which was cool, but he passed like the year before. So I got up. I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I'm 12. I didn't know what I know now, but I got up. I wasn't scared of him in life. So I just went to go see what was happening. Walked over there, and he was as solid as I'm seeing you two. And there was no sound. It was just kind of a gliding down the stairs. Felt a little cold when he passed me. Made a left and, believe it or not, walked into a closet. Saw him go right through the door. You normally see it on movies, but I don't know how to explain it. I just saw it. Opened the door. Didn't expect to see him there, and I didn't. But there were some big plaques that he brought over from Italy that he had hung in two of his houses in New York that he had built. So it was that point in time that I kind of figured that he went to what was his or what was, at that time, I didn't think of energy and stuff. It just was his possession. So after that, I kind of started reading everything I could. Hans Holzer, D. Scott Rogo, you name it at the time. It was back early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, and was known as a ghost boy for a long time. Always had a ghost book, haunted house book on me, and just kind of moved forward from there. Went through high school, had a real cool psychology prof or teacher that allowed me to write on parapsychology as long as I kind of kept it within the scope of what he was trying to do. Got into college, got real lucky then too. He let me write on it as long as it was within scope. And saw my first, experienced my first thing about 18 years old. I was looking at this house and I heard about this house and knocked on the door and I introduced myself. And I honestly thought that she was going to start throwing stuff at me because, she doesn't know me from Adam. And I said, well, I heard from people that you were experiencing stuff in your house. And she said, well, yes, I am, but I don't know who would have said that.
Now, where was this?
Oh, this was here in Texas.
In Texas.
This was here in Texas. And she invited me in, and we talked a little bit, and we became pretty good friends. So she let me come out, and every once in a while, you know, about maybe once a week, twice a week, we'd come out, and I'd sit with her, and she'd make me lunch, which was cool. And we'd just sit and talk, and I would start hearing... Eventually, I would start hearing things moving around upstairs, like somebody dragging boxes and stuff. And I already knew that she was the only one there. She didn't have any pets. And at this point, I had asked her why all the boxes. She said that her daughter was going to be moving her away because she was getting to the point that she couldn't really take care of herself. And it really upset her. And when she said that, I heard a real big thud upstairs. So me being as dumb as I am, I'm the one who goes running up when everybody runs. You know, so
you're that guy in the movie.
I'm that guy. My wife actually is the one that goes out and warms up the car. Yeah. And she's the one going, let's go.
Why do we get in the running car?
Yes.
No, let's go where the chainsaws
are. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the one. So I go upstairs and she had like a room. It was done up as a library. There were all of these books all around and a table in the middle. And turned a corner and I got hit in the head with a book. And I was looking, I was like, I'll be danged, you know, and I picked up the book and it was a first printing of Gone with the Wind. And I thought about it for a second and we just talked about her moving. And that was one of the first times I kind of thought, well, did one have to do with the other? She was not wanting to leave. And Gone with the Wind would say that she's leaving, you know. So I started reading about poltergeists, but I hadn't really gotten into poltergeists until, you know, as we were discussing earlier, about, you know, 10, 12, 15 years ago.
Let's have a definition of what is a poltergeist.
Okay. A poltergeist is basically like a psychic temper tantrum. What it is that through our psychic selves, we expand or put out our energy from our subconscious that is triggered from either people, places, or things. And that energy can look like a haunting. See, smell, taste, touch, taste, touch, what, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, the senses. Yeah,
I'll be okay.
Right.
So in a case like this, is the house the poltergeist, or is the lady the poltergeist putting it out?
Yeah, looking back at that case now, since it's been a long, long time, I really think it might have been her. She really didn't want to leave. Her daughter was really trying to push it. And I understand that there was a lot of strife between the two of them even before they were trying to move. So that's the only thing I can think of. I didn't know any of that then that I know now. But I would say that was probably my first time with a poltergeist.
And can you define how she creates the poltergeist?
Yeah, like, how did she manifest that?
Yeah, how does that, you know, the noises and stuff?
Usually we don't know that we're manifesting it. The whole key thing is that I've found out since I've been working with hypnosis and stuff is that once I can place a person under hypnosis and I can go back to an event, I can see what they were thinking to see if they were triggered by something, and it will tell me if it was a poltergeist event or not. That's now, though. But back then, I couldn't tell you anything.
No.
I wouldn't have known.
No, it was just the start.
It was
the
start.
It was all for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry for being a little jumpy, but
no, it's okay.
No, I've just got so many questions too.
I do too.
Yes, exactly.
I do too. Peter Haviland, this is very.
We haven't even gotten into the hypnosis part of
not
things.
Even.
Really, really.
I can't wait for y'all to start putting out some brown eggs.
Grego laid an egg. There's a couple of assumptions here. First of all, I am willing to go with you because, and I'll tell you my story when it's appropriate. But I'm willing to go with you that there are ghosts. There is a spirit world.
I believe that too. I've seen
it. Okay, there is a spirit world. Yes. The second thing is, which is interesting, now you're differentiating a little bit from the spirit world to what people manifest.
Correct.
From their own energy.
Correct.
And being that all matter, all objects, this cup on the table is vibrating at a frequency. Everything Correct. Is energy. Explain a little bit about that too.
Okay, well, we all have different frequencies. And from what I have studied is that through meditation, you can raise your frequency or you can lower your frequency depending on what you're wanting to do. Okay, so as you raise your frequency, you tend to experience things a little more. You might see things a little bit more because you're raising your frequency up to where spiritual phenomena kind of goes. That's why not everybody sees a ghost, not everybody hears one. It's because at specific times, specific places, our psychic selves will pick it up. It's very rare that a lot of this stuff happens, you know, but if you still constantly put yourself into the situation of it, you know, you're going to have an experience, whether it's big or small. I've seen people have experiences as little as a 3 milligauss rating on no energy in a house. That's significant, but that's not like TV or the movies where you have like Slimer coming down and slapping you in the head, you know, so...
Right.
Does that explain it?
It sort of does. Okay. I guess my question is more: is the energy our energy? When you say raising your energy up, mm-hmm. Are we able to raise our energy to get to the spiritual realm, or are we by happenstance coming in contact?
It's actually a little bit of both. If you're aware of being able, like I said, through meditation and things like that, then you would have control over it. If you're not aware of it, then it's, like you said, it's pretty much happenstance. You just walk into an area and you might see a glance of something or a smell that's not around, you know, like apple pie. I was working on a case one time and I smelled apple pie in a kitchen that there was nothing going on in the kitchen.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, it's like Santa. If you believe, the more you get for Christmas, that's the more you find.
Something like that.
But they don't answer letters.
They don't. for the house,
okay.
that house again, and mm-hmm. the lady.
Right.
So I guess the question goes, the stuff that she's manifesting, is that mm-hmm. something that she's, is that like the spirit world, or is that just something like, when you're saying that she has these paranormal activities, is mm-hmm. that another world she's conjuring up to make this happen,
it's within her? No, it's the energy that's being released by the subconscious that is within ourselves to create it.
Okay.
It's not bringing in a ghost. It's not calling something forth.
Okay.
That's something completely and totally different.
Okay.
The confusion on most part people is that when you're dealing with poltergeist activity and when you're dealing with a haunting, there's such a fine line. And that's why it's so hard to try to find out which one is which. That's why I utilize hypnosis to find out, you know, if it is something that they were experiencing. For instance, were they flashing back to something that happened to them in the past that might have created that's what I look for. But if it's, you know, if it's Aunt Ruth, if her conscience has survived death and that's an intelligent haunting, then that's something completely different.
Okay.
When you're dealing with something in a house that it's called place memory. When we are in our air, we place our imprints on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good, bad, indifferent, happy, sad. Any high emotion, we place that into our environment. That's called place memory. And then again, our psychic selves will pick that up. And that's kind of like a tape loop.
Is that kind of like what your grandfather was then?
I think so, because he'd been over to the house quite a few times, and he didn't interact with me, so I would probably say yes to that first before I would say that it was actually him.
So, yeah, because he didn't interact with you.
He just walked past you, and it was just a loop
of him going, mm-hmm. okay, yes, yes.
Excuse me, I just burped up an evil spirit.
I thought I saw horns.
It came up and out. That's crazy. Now, what about extra...
Ladies and gentlemen, heal him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. My frequency is... 95.7. Exorcisms?
Okay.
To that, have you ever been a part of that or had to witness any of that stuff?
I could tell you the scariest thing I've ever been on. I don't know if it was actually demonic. But I had this lady that contacted us that she said that there were some things going on in her house. She was smelling things, hearing things, and she wanted us to come out and bless the house. Now, at that point in time, I was working with a priest, a real priest. We went out there, and he was putting on his vestments, and he was preparing the Eucharist, and he was calling in the saints, and I'm monitoring the area around him. And on the wall, it shows me like 75 degrees. But things are starting to warm up as he's preparing the Eucharist. And around him, it's getting up to like 80, 85, 90 degrees. And he's sweating, and he's in full vestment. And I'm beginning to get worried because I'm looking at the thing on the wall, and it's still telling me, 75 degrees. So something is doing something to the environment. Okay, I can at least say that. What it is, I haven't seen it, I haven't heard it, and I'm not feeling really anything other than the heat. So we start walking the house, and he's blessing the house, and we get to this room that she said that the door was open, and Father tried to open the door. And when he's trying to open it, it won't open. And I go over there, and it won't open. And she goes over there, it won't open. And he blesses the door, which, okay. Yeah. anything helps, right? Yeah. And doorknob turns. And I'm like, okay. Wow. We walk inside, and there is a altar for Santeria. And what I find out after all of this is that she was kind of using the altar of Santeria for good and bad. Her husband was beaten on her, and she was also out of work, so she was trying to ask for luck. But that's neither here nor there. So when the father sprinkles the water inside and sprinkles a little bit more water coming out, the temperature went back to 75 degrees. I can't explain that. Yeah. I cannot explain that.
And you had a digital.
I had a digital thermometer.
That yes, you just I did. Pointed something, and it.
Yes. And it was calibrated.
But the one on the wall was still.
It was still constant.
Constant.
Was still constant.
Wow.
Now the only thing the only question I could say is that, if for some reason if it was stuck, but why would there be two different temperature feelings?
Yeah. Yeah. You
know.
Yeah. There's no.
So
close together.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And why would it be 90 and then all of a sudden it's 75?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's the closest I've ever come to anything really being just weird and I would say evil. But, to me, I'm not a real big demon guy. I've seen just too much stuff of what we create to do that. Now, that's not to say it doesn't happen, because I do also work with a priest that is an exorcist, and he has given me cases that I go out and I try to look at and try to place parapsychology theories too. And I have yet to turn him over a case yet. So I can tell you that I haven't come across anything that has been demonic so far. Hmm. But that's not to say that it doesn't happen.
And he gives them to you. Are you determining whether or not you think that they're demonic? Is that what you're doing?
No, I go in and I let the evidence speak for itself. Mm-hmm. I go in with a clear mind. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of folks that go out there probably that try to prove a haunting. I'm not trying to prove it or disprove it. Yeah. I just want to know what's going on.
You get feelings when you go places?
Yes, I do.
You do. So in this room...
There's a lot of evil in this room.
Yeah. You feel it?
Yeah, I do.
You honestly feel evil?
No, I don't. I'm passing with you.
You got me. You sucked me right in. No, but when you... But,
no, it was the horns earlier when you expelled that.
Yeah, but when you do come in contact with mm-hmm. folks, you pick up on their energy.
Yeah, I can read it.
Yeah.
I can
what do
read
you
it.
Feel right now? Tell us. Be honest.
Honestly,
completely honest. Like, what do you feel?
I feel happiness.
You feel happiness here?
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, I do.
That's nice.
Unless last weekend y'all had a sacrifice here and I'm just not knowing it.
Yeah.
No, what we didn't tell you.
Now, is everybody psychic?
Everybody has an ability.
That's right. But harnessing the ability, right? That's the difficult part.
It can be. I mean, we all have feelings. We all have, your gut. That's a psychic ability. We all have it. It just really depends on how much, if you work on it, or if you've been. Sometimes it follows follows through families that you have an ability. That's what I've seen. So yeah, I mean, everybody has the ability. Everybody does. No, I'm not trying to tell everybody to go out and put a tent out outside to, you know, $5 readings. But
now, Peter, you also, Peter Havlin's here. He's a parapsychologist and he's a forensic, what's the proper?
Hypnotherapist.
Yeah. You work with police departments as well, right?
I have.
Ooh, yeah, that's what I want to hear about.
Tell
yeah.
us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, I've worked with a couple of 501(c)s for missing adults, missing children, missing veterans. And I have been called out. I worked with this the postal police out in Alabama. They brought me out. They had a cold case they wanted me to talk to about, yeah. I think it was like seven people, yeah. to see if I can pull up any more data from them to see what they experienced. And they sat there in the room with me, and they saw my process, and I recorded everything, and they have everything that I had. And I was able to pull up more information than they were originally given. Now I know that the case is still open, but they had gotten some more leads, and they became a little bit more active after I was there. Now I have worked with police here for missing children. Mm-hmm. I have been called out by families that have seen their children abducted, and they wanted me to place them under hypnosis to see if they can get more information as far as, you know, what they saw, who was it, and things. I've had them pull up license plates before to give to officers. I have also had them identify people a little bit more too. So I mean, some cases have been closed. So I don't know. I don't always know, because once they use me, they don't. I've seen that the police officers really don't want to know. Hey, you know, there was a hypnotist out here, and they did this, and they want to keep. And that's fine.
But what's interesting is that even law enforcement will use someone like yourself.
Yes, and they have their own trained people too.
Yeah, which is why, mm-hmm. you see, I, with my own personal experience and over the years doing radio, always was a fan of having psychic mediums to come on. And you know, there are excellent ones, and then there are people that perhaps are not for real, but mm-hmm. there are definitely individuals, I believe, mm-hmm. that can reach through to the other side, mm-hmm. and make contact. I witnessed a ghost, mm-hmm. myself.
Okay.
When I was in Baltimore, was staying with a girlfriend for a short amount of time. This would have been 1994. And one night, she lived in this old Victorian house. It was well over 100 plus years.
Okay.
It was old.
Okay.
And I was staying with her down in the basement. Mm-hmm. I was in the kitchen that evening getting ready to go back downstairs. I had gotten a drink or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there was this wooden door that you would open to go to a staircase. You'd go into the staircase, make a quick right and another quick right. And it went down, okay, right. to go down to the basement. Okay. It was late in the evening. I opened the door.
Right.
And when I opened it, floating in midair, mm-hmm. about shoulders high, about mm-hmm. my height, was this elderly man's head. And it was...
Oh, just the head?
Just the head. And I opened it. There was no light on. It was dark. Mm-hmm. But when I opened the door, this greenish head, mm-hmm. and there was no confusing what it was. It right. was a man, an right. old man. And his eyes were closed, and he was sort of just looking like down a little bit, but not at the floor. He was just sort of looking down, eyes were closed. Mm-hmm. And it was a greenish, but it wasn't solid, mm-hmm. but it was definitely a shape. Like you could make mm-hmm. out 3D, this is a head.
Right.
I saw it and I said, no way. And I closed the door. And then I opened the door and it was gone.
Yeah.
And I never saw him again. But mm-hmm. somebody else that lived in the house said, yeah, he's here. We see him periodically. Why do they show themselves that way? And by the way, my experience seeing that is the reason why I never doubt people like yourself at all. I mean, I am a believer, because I know someone's listening to this podcast going, oh, yeah, happy Halloween, you idiots. No, you know, let's tell ghost stories. No, this is like a real scientific.
Did everybody else see just the head?
They have seen the head.
It was just the head, though.
Yeah,
just the head.
Yeah.
Was it in like a jar, like the Nixon thing in Futurama?
No, it was just
a future head coming back from the future.
Ignore him.
Oh my God. That's okay.
Just ignore
him. No, that's funny.
He brought up Hypnotoad.
Do
you pick up anything on that? Can you?
Well, I can tell you that sometimes when you only see a part of a person, maybe that's all the energy they have to manifest. Maybe it was something specific that they wanted to show you. Maybe he was beheaded and wanted somebody to wanted you to know what had happened to him. Sometimes they show up to show that. They can manifest themselves in any way they want, since you're dealing with energy. Okay, but it really just depends on what point they want to get across. They could have just acknowledged you because you're in their house. It could be just anything. You know, when something like that would happen, I would probably bring a medium in and try to get in contact with the energy to find out what the message is.
Yeah,
that's what I would do.
Yeah, because they're not necessarily wanting to do harm to you, right?
Right. Yeah. You know. Most of the time when people experience things, it's not evil. It's not evil. It's not what a person would describe as being evil, given their background. It's usually for communication. It's usually to get a message across, and they're not going to chase you around the house or anything like that. You're going to do more damage to yourself turning around and running and hit a tree than any visual that you're going to see.
Right. So when you go see these ghost hunters, quote unquote, that go to these houses, mm-hmm. and they're, you know, they bring their, what is the meter that they bring that picks up the
PKE meter?
Yeah.
No, that's Ghostbusters. That's Ghostbusters. Oh, you know, no, there's electromagnetic field detectors.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's digital and also analog. Folks will use the thermal gauges, which are the digital thermometers.
Yeah.
I like using a FLIR because you can get more of the visual and your temperatures at the same time, and also see what you're looking at, if it's a mass, if it whatever it is. There's, you know, that you can light up a whole house with cameras and stuff. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, a lot of that stuff, yeah, it does happen, because a lot of it does bring good stuff out, especially if you don't have a whole lot of people that can monitor the whole house. So, you know, they pull some pretty good data. But the best data you have is your brain.
Here,
how scary was it? That's the thing. When you saw the head, how long did you look at it? And was it incredibly scary, or
no,
was it like fascinating?
It was fascinating. I was like, I closed the door and I really said, no way. Because did I just see what I think I saw? And opening the door and fully expecting to see it again, mm-hmm. it was completely gone. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't on any type of substance or hallucinogenic or anything to make me think I wanted to see something.
Well, you've already had confirmation, because already people have already seen the same thing that you've seen.
They had seen.
So I mean, that right there, you can't get any better than that.
Why are these spirits that choose to reveal themselves at times to people, mm-hmm. why are they earthbound?
Well, from what I've seen and what I've experienced, is a lot of them don't like the idea of being judged of what they think hell is, and that'll keep them here because of fear. Maybe they haven't, they think that they haven't completed the last tasks that they were supposed to do. Maybe they want to get a message to a person, and sometimes it's hard to find the person, depending on how old the spirit is or the ghost that you're dealing with. So sometimes you have to help them as far as finding who the person is, and trying to find that person is sometimes like, you know, you just can't. That's when usually I would bring a medium in and try to see if we can cross them over by bringing in familiar energies to try to help them walk through. All of this is energy, and energy is energy. So it also comes down to what the person thinks of what heaven is or what hell is. I'm a religious person myself. I don't want any hate mail saying, you know.
Listen. The question, the door you have opened begs the question that goes to different levels. Is there heaven and hell? And are there different levels to heaven and hell?
There is a heaven and there is a hell, if that's what you believe in. And there is energy, free energy. of and to what people believe that they go on to from here. There's that too. It just really depends on the person and what their belief system is. And because that's all, it's all mental.
And are there people that will never experience a heaven and a hell because mentally they're not open to believing in it? In other words, when you die, when mm-hmm. a person dies, what happens to their energy slash their soul or whatever?
Energy always moves on. Okay, and whatever they think their belief is or what they don't believe or whatever, your energy is going to move on. So they will experience something. Everybody will experience something.
This, you know, this is fascinating. This is like the, are you familiar with the Winchester House?
Yes, I am. I went there on my my honeymoon.
On your honeymoon.
Yeah.
Wow. The Winchester House is a fascinating place.
That
tell
place
us what
is
you,
awesome.
Yes.
That place is awesome. Not only the architecture and seeing the doors going into nothing and stairs going up to ceilings and things like that. They took us into
Now, you have to explain,
room.
Though. You have to explain, what is the Winchester home?
Okay. I'm sorry, my mistake. The Winchester House was built by Sarah Winchester, and she continued to build on that house because she believed that the ghosts of Winchester firearms would come and haunt her, and as long as she built, she would live. The day that she stopped, she would die.
Yeah, this was supposed to make up for the fact that she
it was
provided,
like a karma thing.
Yeah, she provided the world with guns that then killed people. And
yeah.
Now those ghosts that have been killed by her guns now haunt them until they can get some sort of justification to move on
there. And guilt is a heavy, heavy thing. You know, grief is real strong. Guilt is heavier because you bring on the world with guilt. And that'll keep you here for as long as the guilt's there.
Guilt wow. over whatever it is?
Yeah, because you bring on everything that you think you did or you think you did to a person, you absorb it because that's because you're believing.
Okay. Wait, time out. We got to make a note here. First of all, you have to finish the Winchester story that you went. And then I want to go.
Sorry, I'm all over the place.
That's okay, but I want to go back to creating your own life experience
right.
based on your thoughts.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Right, let's go to that, and then we'll come to the other.
Is this okay. like thinking good positive thoughts make a good positive
that's
life?
That's what I'm wondering.
Is that what you're going for?
I mean, listen, any self-help book you read, they tell you think positively and good things.
You're right. Yeah.
And, you know, people like me, I'm a glass half empty guy all the time.
Like attracts
and life sucks! I mean... Did I say that out loud? He hypnotized me to
help me. Call 911. Call 911. No, like attracts like. Okay, so what I mean by that is that if you want to be miserable, you're going to attract miserable. If you want to be happy, you attract happy. If you want to
well,
be
that
sad,
explains a lot
you
for
attract
me now.
Sad.
That just explained my last 35 years. I got to fix things now.
Hey, I understand. Trust me. I understand.
Oh, you've been following me?
Well, I've been following you since 101.
That's
hey,
right. That's
I've known
right.
you for a while.
Listen, yeah. Look, it. Something just came up on this paper, and it says help. I wrote it.
I need a hand.
It's just somebody call security. Get him out of here.
Help me. So back to the Winchester House.
Right.
You went.
Yes.
And...
Okay, so when I went there, I experienced a lot of the architecture, and they have, you know, it was a guided tour, and they were telling us what everything was.
Is it
and
massive?
It's huge. It was huge. If you're a big fluffy guy like me, you might want to bring some extra water. Yeah, yeah. I learned that also with going up the Empire State.
World Trade Center?
No, not the World Trade. No, I didn't go to
Empire?
The World Trade.
What? Statue of Liberty.
Yep.
There you go.
Going up
Statue
those stairs.
Of Liberty. Yeah, that little next spiral
time,
staircase.
Just look here. It's right here. Statue of Liberty
Statue
on
of
the
Liberty.
Arm.
I was here.
You were up in the
crown.
I was in the up there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And those stairs, they're not built for heavy guys. I had to butter my hips to get up there. getting down there is something totally different.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still feel bad about that lady.
It's yeah, it's a spiral staircase. Small staircase all the way up to
now
the top.
Now I know how the Raiders of the Lost guy fell with that tumble thing down.
Yeah,
yeah
exactly.
It was bad.
Exactly.
It was horrible. My wife wouldn't quit talking about it for 2 weeks. Anyway.
So Winchester House.
Yeah, Winchester House. So we got into the seance room, and I really think that the energy's still there. I got in there, and wow. I felt a lot of anxiety in there. Now, I don't know if that was from everybody walking in there and kind of what they thought things would be and if I was picking up those people. But I also know that she went there almost nightly to try to appease the spirits and see mm-hmm. and get her next plans for building and things like that. So when we walked in there, I mean, I was shaken when I walked into there.
Wow.
And like I said, I don't know if I was picking her up or picking up all the other folks, but yeah, it was enlightening just to see, you know, when you start hearing about the stories and then, you know, you actually see it, it's just, you know, it brings it to life.
Did you feel spirits? Did you see anything?
I didn't feel any spirits, but I just felt high anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, I don't know if it was the people or if it was the place
yeah.
or what I wanted to see.
Is the spirit world like Field of Dreams? In other words, if you conjure them, will they come? Like if you go looking and you know, people that play with Ouija boards, for example.
No,
what?
Yeah.
no, seriously.
Yeah, no. You know, there's people that say that they can conjure things. I don't know how much of that is what they think they can do versus what actually happens. That's just me. I'm more of a realist.
Sure.
But I don't know. I don't do it, so I can't tell you exactly how that works.
Well, the Ouija board, if you really come down to it, based on what you've already said, could be someone's own manifestation.
It could be. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, how many times do you hear about people getting drunk and wanting to hear Jimi Hendrix? You know, it's your intent over the board. So if you're using it for some type of communication, and if you seriously think it, you can communicate, you could probably communicate because it's your intent over the board, it's your energy in the board. So, you know, maybe you can. I can tell you, though, there is no scientific proof that it's ever happened. But, you know, you can get anybody, they'll tell you stories. On YouTube, they have people freaking out all the time over a Ouija board. So, I don't know. I could tell you, though, that I worked a case one time that this lady was saying that she was experiencing things in her house, swore up and down that she didn't have a Ouija board, and I walked the house, and I saw three sets of Ouija boards top of her file cabinet, and I brought them out, and I go, 1, 2, 3. Okay, what are you doing? And she looked at me. I said, okay, well, I need to know what you're doing. I need to know what the intent is, what you were trying. Did you have a Necronomicon? Are you trying to call up somebody? I need to know where we're at. She swore to God that she didn't do anything, but she has three of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
As you're speaking, I'm thinking about the other place. Is it in San Antonio or is it in Austin where you cross the railroad?
The railroad tracks on yes. On Villa Main Road.
Yes. Is that San Antonio?
Yes, it is. San Antonio.
Okay. So what was the story there that there was a car or a school bus?
It was a school bus with children that was trying to either beat the train or was trying to cross and a train hit them.
And a train hit them and killed them all.
Or yes.
Whatever. And they say if you go there mm-hmm. and you put baby powder on your trunk lid or something, handprints show up. You ever heard
of that? Oh, wow. No, this is new to me.
Historically, never happened there.
It didn't happen there.
Never happened there. Historically. Historically. They had the road looked at by you know, a person that goes out there, a surveyor. Mm-hmm. And there is an actual grade that will allow your car to go up and down. It's a very, very small grade. So I would say that it's probably built that way. But anybody that's ever experienced it over there, you know, they'll tell you different. Mm-hmm. Now, putting the powder on there, you know, It's a question of, are you picking up your handprints or somebody's handprints? There has been cases that people have stayed in the bushes to try to rob people out there too. So maybe are they doing it? I mean, I don't know, but I don't really think that's out there. I think it's just an urban legend that people go out and experience.
One thing I really like about you, Peter, is that, you know, you're talking on one hand about poltergeists and energies and spirits, but on the other hand, you're saying I'm a realist.
Yeah.
So it's like that. You know, like you believe on one hand, but you need some sort of.
I need data. I need proof.
Yeah.
And that's just the way I am. And I've been doing that for years as being a private investigator. You know, I let the evidence speak for itself. You know, you can't go into a place and you hear it's haunted and then you're trying to prove the haunting. It doesn't work that way. I mean, I get yelled at all the time. Well, you know, because, well, they said it's going to be this and you have to test for that. Well, yeah, but you're already going in there with a mindset that something's happening. You got to go in there to find out what's causing it. You know, is it a high electromagnetic field that might be causing a hallucination? Is it structural damage to the house that might be causing creaking? Do you have an infestation of raccoons? I want to tell you one thing here. I was in this one house that was, this lady was claiming that she was hearing a lot of snaps and pops and raps and taps in her house. House itself, great looking house, is great neighborhood. Go inside. Immaculate house. But you can tell that the house was settling and it looked like it had some problems with the foundation. So I'm walking around and I see this hole in the wall. And I got my FLIR because I'm looking for...
A FLIR.
My FLIR. A far-looking infrared.
Okay. Infrared.
Yes. Yeah. What that does is it sends out a lot... hundreds and thousands of different temperatures for laser light and brings back what it's experiencing and puts it into a visual. So that's what you see, the different temperatures and the different
masses. Well, that's the little masses. Infrared that you see like on TV when they're looking at something. Yeah,
cop the army uses it. Cops, exactly. Any ghost show uses it. And so I'm looking for any electrical outlets or electrical wires that might be frayed or anything like that, just to see what I'm dealing with. And I'm seeing a mass, and I'm walking down the wall, and I see this head pop out. It's a little head, and it scared me more than I scared it. It was a possum. So I told the lady, I said, "Ma'am, I said you're not haunted. You have a polter possum." So I suggest you to get Orkin out here and see what you can do. So. Yeah.
Exorcise the demon.
Yes.
Yeah.
It has been exorcised. This house is clean.
In more ways than one. But you have a lot of animal rodent droppings in your walls.
Exactly. Yes.
You have to get those fixed. Well, it's really crazy. Now, when you hypnotize people, you're trying to go take them back to a moment when they experience something.
Correct.
How do you do it? How do you hypnotize? And is there a way for you to, if I said, look, go ahead. Hypnotize me. Would you want to try it? Is that something that's possible?
Yeah. If you can be hypnotized. There's a lot of folks that that don't want to relax to the point to allow me to get you into that relaxed state. A lot of people that have control issues are one. Medicinal issues are another. If the medicine won't allow you to focus in on what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Now, I have also experienced people that I haven't been able to get under, that once they've seen how the process goes, they will come back and I can put them under at that point, because now they've already seen how I work. They know who I am. They feel comfortable with me. So I can do it on the second time around. Now, what I do is I do an induction, which is basically a relaxation. Okay. And then from that point, I bring you into a deeper state of hypnosis, and it's through like a guided meditation.
Do you need a reason to hypnotize, or you can just hypnotize somebody and then do whatever you want with them?
They will not. I don't know. Do I need to worry about you?
No. I'm just,
all right. Okay.
Yes.
Hey, put your pants back on over here, Greg.
I've heard stories.
I'm all about this.
Actually, if you want to come to my office, I'll put you under if you want to go under. That's not a problem. Just let me know.
Yeah, but it's not something you could do here. Is that right?
No, I'd rather do it in my office because it's a neutral area, and you know, it's a mindset too. You're in my office. You know why you're there, and you know, and I would do it that way. Now, I used to go to people's offices and do that, but there's just a lot too much going on around, you know, in your business. You know, people coming in, knocking, hey, well, I need this, I need that. You know, people passing and stuff. You always glance, so you know.
It takes your attention away.
Focus. Yeah. So yeah, you would ask me if there's a reason. Yeah. Well, what I do is I also interview you. I want to know why we're here. I want to know what you're experiencing, what you want to get out of this, so I can then write down what the session's going to be. Now, I've worked with folks that for sports hypnosis, you know, for performance. I've worked with people for PTSD, smoking, weight loss, you know, you pretty much you name it.
What do you get out of sports performance?
I remove blockages of what they think they can do and what they can't do. I work with one coach that does some running, Olympic running, and he brings his runners to me, and he tells me what he sees with the runner there, and I build my session around what the coach is thinking, what the runner's thinking. You know, I'll say, okay, well, coach is saying this. When he says this, what are you feeling at the time? And he might say, well, you know, I've never been able to do that since I was a kid. Okay, why haven't you been able to do that? Well, my dad said I was nothing. Okay, so now I got to remove the blockage.
Hey, we have the same father.
Hey. You know, we probably do.
So you're not taking them and saying, okay, you're hypnotized, now you can run faster. You're giving them the, okay, now take away anything that thinks you can't run faster, and now you perform at your top level.
And then you
level.
Replace it with a positive reality. So now, once you've taken out the negativity, now you're going to tell them, okay, now every time you experience this, then you plug in, you will now be able to think more clearly. You will be able to now push yourself to your limit, you know, whatever it is that we discuss. So this way, when you remove it, you have to replace it. Or if it's open, and then anything can jump in there.
That's fascinating.
Nothing demonic or anything like that. Because I've had people ask me too, well, once you get hypnotized, can a demon come in? No, it doesn't happen that way.
This just sounds like regular kind of Freudian absent of hypnotism. Like some of the stuff earlier that you were talking about with hypnotizing people to find out more about what happened at, the scene of a crime or an abduction or something.
Exactly.
Which to me kind of tells me, well, a mind really is, it can remember everything. It does have everything in it, just we don't always have the ability to call it back, and maybe with a little bit of help, someone can help you do that.
Right.
Find something clearer.
And as we get older, sometimes our physiology changes. So, you know, maybe there's something going on in your brain that maybe you just can't do it because you just can't do it. Mm-hmm. And if that comes up, there's nothing I can do. If it's physiological, I can't do it. The only thing I can do is probably work around it and say, okay, every time you feel frustrated because, you know, you can't read this book, you know, then maybe I can say, okay, maybe slow down, take it a little bit easier, and you can probably read this book at a slower pace than what you're used to. You know, you kind of just walk around it. Mm-hmm. That's really the only thing you can do.
You know, going back now, you had said that if you say have, for instance, guilt, that brings a lot of negative energy with it. There was a book that came out some years ago, and I know you're aware of it, is The Secret. Remember The Secret? And I actually read that book. And a lot of people thought,
sorry guys.
A lot of people thought that The Secret at first reading it was poppycock because it was, you know, thoughts or things basically.
Right. It's a visual, it's a visualization
of what you want, and then those things tended to occur.
Right.
And they had
it
people
is a constant
on there,
reminder.
Whether it was parking in a parking lot, looking for a space up front, if you visualize there was a space up front, people would get it. Imagining checks coming in the mail. I need a check in the mail. Checks showed up for people, you know, whatever.
What you're doing is that you're creating a visual, like the storyboard. I can't remember what it's called.
Storyboard.
Yeah. And every time you look at it, you're reminding yourself, this is what you want. So then you're programming yourself, okay, this is what I want. How do I make this happen? And sooner or later, it becomes subconscious. And then you're making the changes that you want to make, and things start happening.
That's how it works. I get it. So it's more of and then it sets your mind on that path to make that happen.
You're programming yourself is all it is.
I think it's fascinating. In other words, some people would watch a TED talk and watch somebody tell you and how to be, you know, more productive and successful by doing these five things, whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think if you can come to you, for example, and get hypnotized. Let's say you are a person like I am. Mm-hmm. I am a glass half empty person all the time. You know, it's things are negative. I have to be told and shown the positive to see the positive. I'm pessimistic, right?
There's actually nothing wrong with that either. So this way you're constantly wanting the confirmation, so you work towards the positive.
But how do you, can you in a hypnotism session, help flip a switch in the brain where you're like, from now on, you are going to be glass half full. You're always going to see the positive side of things. And would that change things and possibly ruin my career?
I wouldn't want to be part of that. I wouldn't. You know, I've enjoyed you all these years.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
want to be part of that. It's worked for me this round, but I'm miserable.
Why poke the bear, you know?
You sound like the guy at the beginning of Office Space when he walks in and just, can you hypnotize me to feel good?
Yeah.
Because,
I loved it when he went in there and gutted the fish on his desk.
Yeah.
How many people wanted to go and do that?
See? There you go.
Yeah, no, what I would probably do with the situation like that is that I would interview you to find out why you think the way you do. If as much as you would want to share with me, I don't expect everybody to go in there and put their whole life on the table, because I mean nobody's going to do that. It's really kind of what you want to do, what you want to get out of the session. There's a reason why you think the way you think. And we just have to get to the root of that and try to release it, or try to release the blocks. And once you release that, maybe your mind will change.
See, and that just doesn't, and that to me sounds good, because it's not even hypnotization. It's not really hypnotization. He's just guiding you to the right place. It's guiding you to, it's guiding you to the, what you're really seeing, what you're talking about.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
And I mean, if that doesn't work, I have a hammer.
In Terry's case, he doesn't have my issues. He just needs a little bit more seriousness. He's just so far, he's so happy and relaxed. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. How can people get a hold of you?
Oh, sure. They can get a hold of me through my website, www.redokipnosis.com, and they can get an appointment with me.
Get an appointment.
I can't talk. It just doesn't sound like it sometimes.
No, that's all right. Now, did you do something with us at NewsFix back in the day?
Where yes, I did.
You were. What was that?
Y'all called out my team one time, and I was there with, I think it was Steve Fix was working in the evening shift when we came in. Several people out there were claiming that, I think it was right after Chuck Schrammick died.
Oh, that's at KLOL back in the KLOL. Old building. That's KLOL. In the old building at KLOL.
It was a little bit after Chuck Schrammick died.
The building haunted there, real everyone nice said.
And they were hearing a lot of footsteps and knocking and rapping and tappings and stuff. And we came out there, and I think I was out there with Brendan Keefe from Channel 2, Channel 26,
right,
I can't remember.
At the time, yeah.
And we actually caught some phenomenon on tape. We had a bag that was sitting up on a table that had been there all night, and they were interviewing my partner at the time, and as they were interviewing her, the bag just fell. And it was right after they were asking about the hauntings, the bag fell.
Wow. I remember when y'all, I didn't know, that's interesting that y'all were up there, because I was there at that time too. I wasn't there the day, but I remember hearing about y'all coming by, because I did a lot of overnight shifts there in that place when it was just quiet and me by myself.
Was that
and
you stealing the donuts?
There was a lot of...
Yeah. You have to exercise all the old broads out of there.
The less I know, the better off I probably am. I've heard stories there too.
Oh, yeah.
I heard some stories too. You heard them.
Yeah.
Speaking of Chuck Schrammick, the old news guy for Stevens and Pruitt, who was brilliant. They said, you know, he had a tinfoil hat, but he really was way ahead of his time.
Magnificent.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if it was Gary Spivey or someone.
He was the one that had the weird hair.
Yes,
that was Gary Spivey.
Somebody said that they had made contact with Schrammick on the other side, and he said, they asked him, is there heaven? And he said, it is so much more than you would ever imagined.
Wow.
So far and beyond.
That's so cool.
I want to, speaking, now that we're talking of the old days of KLOL, I want to tell you about another dream that I had.
Okay.
And this involved Jim Pruitt, who after... Mark Stevens left that show and eventually passed away. God rest his soul. I got very close to Jim Pruitt when I worked on that.
He's a nice guy, too.
He's a fabulous
man. Nice, nice guy.
I got
give you the shirt off his back.
He sure would. Yeah. And he was like a second father figure to me. Mm-hmm. And we were extremely close. And I mean having random phone conversations during the week, a couple of times a week, talking about nothing. And this was after he was out of radio and he was at the gun store. And then he started doing Cypress Radio for a minute. And he was dabbling in that. And I helped him with some production. So we really got...
Colonel St. James is still running that.
Yeah, he sure
Shout
is.
Out to the Colonel.
And so, long story short, Jim passes away. He has his final heart attack. He had so many. And this time they couldn't revive him. We went to his funeral. We were at the house with Joy over in Cyprus. Mm-hmm. And some time passes, several months. It could have been four months or so. Mm-hmm. I have a dream in the middle of the night. And it was so real that when I woke up, I had to tell everybody about it. I've referenced it on the air. In the dream, it was almost like sitting in a dark room and then all of a sudden the lights come on. Mm-hmm. In other words, there was nothing prior to this experience. But all of a sudden in my dream,
right.
I'm driving the car.
Okay.
And I look over to my right and sitting in the passenger seat is Jim. And Jim is in all white. He's dressed in white. And he says, "Well, you're doing good." He goes, "You got it all together. Everything is right on track." And I looked at him, and that was all he said to me.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then he was gone. And that was the end of it. It was a moment, but it was so lifelike. His white garment that he had on was almost glowing.
Wow.
It was so, you know, and I never forgot it. As a matter of fact, I'm getting chills. Thinking about it.
I am too.
I believe that Jim wanted to come to me and say it's going to be okay because Jim got to know me really well.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, there was a conversation back at the old Post Oak building, KLOL, mm-hmm. where, you know, we were talking about, you know, being successful in the business. And Jim said to me, well, first of all, Grego, you can only be as successful as you're capable of being. And that stuck with me, that comment. In other words, did it mean that I didn't get that he was speaking of your talent. I got that he was speaking more along the lines of what you're talking about is your own personal blocks.
You're only as good as you want yourself to be. Exactly.
There you go. Which is why so many people,
or where you allow yourself to be.
That is, man, I'm telling you, there's so much to
that's
that.
That's a lot of people's holdups, is that sometimes they don't feel like that they are worthy of getting what they think, what they want, what they deserve, or what they want to be. And they hold themselves back because of what they think. Everybody is capable of being anything that they want to be.
Yeah. And you had mentioned, mm-hmm. and I keep bringing this back, that guilt over whatever it mm-hmm. is, whether it's a failure in the past, whether it's a mm-hmm. regret, or whether you should let all that stuff go, right? I mean, how do you let it go? What is the mindset? What is the thought?
As a Catholic, how do I let Catholic guilt go?
Forget about it. It doesn't. Same.
You know, I've been trying to find that out for years myself. I'm just now getting to the point now. I mean, I had problems with my dad when I was growing up, and all it took for me was hearing my dad saying, "I'm sorry," and I released it. Now, I'm 52 years old now, and with everything that was going on with me, that was the trigger that I needed to hear. That means everybody's got what they, everybody knows what they need. What they need to hear. It's just, are you going to allow yourself to do it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it sounds weird, but I don't know how else to explain it.
Well, did you know you needed that said, or did you know,
life.
Or did you know, or was it the time that he said it? That was when it just all my life. You knew
my
that,
dad yeah. was in the hospital and, you know, and he wasn't doing that well. And we had just a conversation and he just said, "Pete, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry for everything." And it just, I mean, you could feel it when it leaves. I don't know how to explain it. You just feel it.
And I brought this up on the air just the other day, you know, with the Astros and the World Series. There was a video online of Jose mm-hmm. Altuve and his mother and father. Mm-hmm. And they went back to Jose's hometown talking about, and his father was in the video and the yeah. mom's there. And the mother was saying Jose's father worked so hard. Mm-hmm. He'd come home at night exhausted, but no matter how tired he was, mm-hmm. he always took an hour a day to go play ball with Jose. Jose would wait for him and they'd go to the ballpark, which was, you should have seen the dirt field that they were playing on. It was just, you know, it was a mess.
But it was a field for them.
It was a field for them. And at the end of this video, the father is talking. He goes, "Jose, how do I feel about Jose?" He goes, "I admire Jose. I admire Jose." And sometimes between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. It's just that validation, I think, that you're looking for. Some guys never hear that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you're looking for something.
And that's sad. That really is sad. You know, I just would, you know, to your listeners, you know, if life's too short, life is way too short. You need to cut the baggage. You just need to cut the baggage, whatever it will be. Sit down, have that conversation, you know, no matter how hard it is, because in the long run, it'll help. It really will. It helped for me.
I think that's fabulous. Again, your website that people can get a hold of you
is www.redoakhypnosis.com.
I think it's fantastic stuff, man. It's great to talk to you. You've got great information, great stories.
Thank you.
And it goes perfectly with this time of year and Halloween, when people want to talk about ghosts and goblins, you know, more of the caricatures of those things and comedic side of that.
Right.
But there is... We are all energy.
We are all energy.
And energy cannot be, what is it, created or destroyed, or what
yes,
is it?
Created nor destroyed.
It just
moves on.
It just moves on.
It goes on to the next thing.
And there you are.
Hmm?
Peter Haviland, beautiful interview. Thank you.
It's up to us to make the energy positive.
Yeah. I think he's I feel uplifted.
Yeah.
Somehow. Because you know what you need to do.
Hmm? I try.
You know, the question is to just do it.
Yeah.
Can't thank you enough for stopping by.
Thank you.
I really thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it. It's always a pleasure to see you.
You too.
It was nice meeting you too.
Very, very good to meet you. Thank you very much for your time.
That's good.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.